Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And understanding the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. You see the word "and." Are you seeing the word "and"? It looks like something is missing from that verse. And when you say "and," you are referring to the previous statement. There is something there that is producing that "and." My name is Michael, and I will be your chemistry teacher. Do you understand? Uh-huh. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Okay. Today, I want to look very briefly into the mystery of the fear of the Lord. And this will be some kind of an introduction. Whatever you hear today is an introduction. I know you've heard it said that the fear of the Lord is what? But have you ever wondered why that statement, that verse, why you only remember that statement when it is quoted? I want to tell you today. Most people do not realize, if you have a computer in front of you, that computer may have some very powerful features, but sometimes you need what we call plugins. If you are using a very powerful software, I may have the same software, but you will be using that software at a particular level of which I may not be. I will be wondering what you are doing. Why? Because you have what we call plugin. Once you install those plugins, the device becomes more powerful. That application becomes very powerful. Now, the person in this story that is being referred to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stay with me. And I am interested in verse 2 and 3. The scripture says that the spirit of the Lord will rest upon this man, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And now, please stop there. My consideration here is the fear of the Lord, which was the last item that was referred to in verse 2. And the fear of the Lord, some of the other items mentioned there, but specifically and of the fear of the Lord. Now, what is that thing after the Lord there? What do you call that? What does it mean? Huh? You need to explain further. That statement is not over. Huh? Because of the things that have been mentioned in verse 2, this man, in verse 3, go to verse 3. This man shall be, they will enable him. The spirit will make him of quick understanding. We make him of quick understanding. Please pay attention to the fact that there are seven spirits of God that were mentioned. But what did the spirit quicken him? What understanding, in what understanding was he quickened in? It was in the fear of the Lord. Which means, out of these seven spirits, there is a particular spirit that serves as a thermostat. Please, are you with me? It serves as a regulator. Whether you will be great in the sight of the Lord or not, depends on the spirit. And please, I want you to write that down. Whether a man will be great in the sight of God and in the hands of God, whether God can do much with you or not, depends on this matter, this spirit that is known as the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Again, my consideration is that this spirit shall make him of quick understanding. Now, the subject of quick understanding is very significant. Please follow me. Because when I began to study this matter, I realized that the difference between our Lord Jesus Christ and most of us is that we lack this operation of quick understanding. Our Lord Jesus was different in many areas. He was very unique. He was unique in his doctrine, number one. He was unique in his authority, number two. He was unique in his anointing, number three. He was unique in glory, number four. When the Lord Jesus begins to speak to a man, there is only one man that will never understand him. It is a prideful man. The Pharisees were the only set of people that Jesus spoke to that didn't understand him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are so far away, so they don't see. They are so sad, they also don't see. If Jesus spoke to a farmer, he will understand. If Jesus spoke to a man on the street, that man will understand. The moment Jesus tries to speak to an educated person, they will start struggling. And that's why the scripture said, have you considered this gospel? How that it was not received by many flamboyant men, not many wise men, but God has chosen to reveal what? The things of God to low men of low estate. People that you look at and you say, this one doesn't have money. Jesus said, that is the man I want to speak to. Jesus is the only man that does not discriminate. No matter how powerful you are, at some point you will discriminate. So I'm interested in this matter of quick understanding. Now, you remember that in one of our core scriptures in this church, Matthew chapter 13, talking about the sower and the seed. The first set of seed fell on the water on the roadside. Maybe we should go there. Matthew 13. I don't want to quote it out of context because there's something I want to bring out here. Matthew 13. I want to look at verse 19. Matthew 13, 19. Jesus was trying to explain, when anyone, say anyone, this one could be a pastor, it could be somebody on the street, it could be a prayer warrior, it could be a choir member, it may be a simple man, it may be a governor, it may be a poor man, it may be a rich man, it doesn't matter. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and what? Understandeth it not. Now, that is where I'm going. Do you see the first distinguishing factor that was used to filter out a man that is presented with the word of the Lord? Do you know that this filter is applied every Sunday when we come to church? Do you know that this filter is applied every time you are listening to a message, maybe online? Do you know that this filter is being applied to see maybe you qualify for the next level, level 1, level 2, level 3, but you are not aware that there's a filtering that is going on? They are checking, can we promote her to another class? When I was young, we used to do double promotion, even though they didn't give me. But they gave some people that we know. Thank God that it's not double promotion, we used to make it in life. Some people would have condemned us. Thank God. Yes. If you got double promotion, yeah, raise your hand. I want to know my real enemies. Ah! you're me, Pabra Pat. Hey, now we'll create an association here. For everyone who got, I don't know how they determine it. This one is just getting their promotion. Meanwhile, we have been here suffering, and nobody remembers us. Now, I want you to pay attention. The first filter that was used to separate people in the kingdom was understanding. The absence of, the lack of understanding. The first filter that the heavens approved. That when something is being presented to you, and you don't understand, and you keep quiet, they will just separate you. You stay on that side. And you will never know why that person is being rejected. For years, you'll be repeating class. Because as I began to dig deep, and I want you to journey with me mentally, spiritually, I realized that the issue of understanding is not that I know the formula. Because there are people who know the formula, but don't know what to do with it. You just cram the formula, summation xy minus summation y square, summation x summation y all over the square root of n, bracket open, summation x square or square close minus summation. You just be writing formula that cannot save anybody. But the lecturer is happy. When he's writing it on the board, he's excited. You are the only one looking at them. And so what? You know what it means when your lecturer is teaching you and you know you have more money than him? It's a very terrible situation. It's a very terrible situation. For a man to tell you, I will fail you, you are smiling at you, that, Oga, I made it before coming to this class. It's not this formula that we... it's a serious matter. But I want you to think about it. That peradventure you have been praying for hours. There are some of you that have been praying for hours. Some of you have friends. Do you have friends that are very prayerful? But they don't seem to live one level. Ah, come on, talk to me now. You know people, one or two persons like that, they can pray, but they are always having the same problem. So this is the filter. Don't go to them and tell them you have found the solution. The lack of understanding is what? Is what? The filter, what was used to separate the two of them. I've seen people that prayed 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour every day. And they did better in their relationship with God more than somebody that was praying 3 hours. Not because he was a better person. And I'm not saying you should not pray 3 hours. Not because that person praying for 1 hour is a better. But there are things in the realm of the spirit that answers to prayer. There are a lot of things that answer to understanding. And in terms of your spiritual progress, from the day you give your life to Christ, the word of God and your ability to grasp the doctrines, the tenet of the spirit, remains the first rule, filter that will be applied to your life to determine if you are qualified for the next phase. And you look at our scripture, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. And it shall make him of quick understanding. Now, the issue of understanding has taken another dimension, because now a word has been introduced, and that word is called quick. Do you remember that in that story of the sower, the moment the black brother or that Christian, the person who heard the word of God, did not understand, what happened? The birds representing demonic forces, representing evil forces, they came immediately and took it away. Because you are only permitted to keep what you know you have. You are only, please, you should write it down, because some of you will not listen to this message again. You are only permitted spiritually to keep. You can only fight for what you already know is yours. If you did not know that thing was yours, you will not even know when they take it away. Are you here now? Are you following? So a new element has been introduced, and this is quick understanding. That means as the revelation is being downloaded into your spirit, as the Lord is speaking to you or guiding you or leading you, there must be corresponding understanding flowing with the things you are hearing. Because many times the things God will be speaking to us have the urgency of time. And I've seen people, including here, that came and I told them, go and do this. And they delayed. And somebody called them from somewhere and said, send your CV. I told them, go and get your CV ready. Do it, adjust it like this and like this. They did not. Huh? Somebody reached out to them. They started running up and down. Because they now realized, even the CV they thought they had, where did I save it? That's the day you now realize you have many folders on your computer. You are now looking for it. There was a day my wife came here, a whole Sunday, explaining to people how to optimize your LinkedIn account. A whole Sunday, no Bible, only LinkedIn. Somebody still came.
Sister Wumi.
I said, don't answer that person. Go and buy data. The thing is on Facebook. Go and watch it again. Don't kill my wife. After talking from morning to evening, there are areas that when she's talking, I keep quiet, because that's her area. That you are married to a doctor doesn't make you one. So don't say because you know she always buys antibiotic, you now tell yourself, oh, this is what you don't have understanding. But you have a wife that has understanding. So just day your day and allow the doctor do her thing. Why among these seven spirits of God was it the fear of the Lord that required that quick understanding? Please put up 11:3. Look at this. Now, in verse 2, the spirit of understanding is one of the spirits that was given to Jesus. The reason why Jesus was this powerful was because of the seven spirits mentioned in verse 2. And I want you to ask yourself, how many of these seven spirits do you find operational in your life? Because when you begin to bind demons and all, they are checking you. And they can see that you don't even have anyone. That you don't have anyone. If you understand what I'm saying to you, there is nothing you cannot learn. No matter how old you are. You can learn a new trade. And you become very good at it. Because what is the scripture saying? He will make him of quick understanding. Jesus was given seven spirits. But there was one of those spirits that he needed to be taught how to relate with.
And that was the fear of the Lord.
Because the fear of the Lord is the decider. Whether you will be great in the hands of God or whether you will be an ordinary person.
Prayer is important. Reading the Bible is important. It is the fear of the Lord.
So, what is so special
about the fear of the Lord?
Are you aware that apart from everything that you think was wrong with Satan or Lucifer, you know, the scripture said he was created as a very beautiful creature. Lucifer is one of the creatures that was created in a beautiful way among God's angels. Beautiful. I want you to imagine somebody that looks like a man, but is beautiful. Just imagine what you think that man will look like. Just imagine somebody that has a special set of organs. You know, spirits are, I'm not sure spirits are supposed to have organs like heart and all those things. They don't. They don't need it. But this one was created with a special set of organs such that depending on the mood of the glory of God, one of those organs will respond. It was created that way. And God is so magnanimous. If I were to be God, the moment I throw you out, I'll remove everything and make you very useless. Yes. For you to know that God doesn't have shortage of creative ability. And I can jolly well tell you there's probably another being now created in a better fashion. But that one has a very correct head. That's why you are not hearing about it. The problem that Lucifer had was not just his desire for the throne.
It was the fear of God.
The moment that item is no more found in your heart, in your soul, you become a risk. You become a very dangerous person walking under the anointing. You become somebody that God can no longer touch. You become rejected. If you die, you go to heaven. But as per whether you will be great, and you see, I keep emphasizing the issue of greatness, whether you will be great in the hands of God. Now, again, considering our scripture, what is it about the fear of the Lord, Pastor David, that requires a man to have quick understanding? To have quick understanding means that you look at a situation and you are able within a second or two determine that this is a dangerous place I need to leave. Some people cannot process at that level. They cannot see trouble. The Bible says a righteous man sees trouble a mile away. The simple is also a Christian. He goes on and says Jesus is Lord. And the scripture says he is punished. And then he comes and says, but I was there with Pastor David. David said, I was there, but I wasn't there. Me, I logged out since. I thought you also logged out. Say the simple go on, and this is Proverbs. The simple go on and they are punished. The simple man is not an evil man. No. He's just a man that believes that life is whatever it will be. He's a simple man. He loves God. He doesn't look for people's trouble. But we have stayed alive long enough to know that you may be innocent, but you will suffer. You will suffer the fate of a man who has committed a crime, but you didn't commit that crime, but you will suffer the fate. Jonathan died. It wasn't Jonathan that sinned. He stood with his father. That's one of the problems the things that can happen to him, to a person, a man or a woman, who moves with somebody that is cursed. Say you love him. Love is not enough. Because what you marry is not love. What you marry is not that person. You are marrying the battles in his life. You are marrying the foundation in his life. You are marrying into his bloodline. You are marrying into either the blessing or the curses that are already operating. You are marrying into a well of spiritual resources that could be either good or bad. That's who you married. And that is what will be unfolding to you immediately after they join you. Many of us gambled and we were just lucky. Some people gambled. They didn't make it. And I have stories in that area. I have plenty of stories. In this short time that I've been pastor, I have plenty of stories. It takes the fear of the Lord to know, having journeyed with the Lord to a level, that there are major decisions you cannot make until you have cleared yourself with God. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, there's this lady that I like. And that's the problem with men. You know, when, I don't know how it works for you ladies, but when a man loves you, he doesn't think straight again. You advising a man that is in love is usually a waste of time. Only an activity that jolts him will open the eyes a bit. Even though the eyes can still shut after them, but it will open his more. Most times, we believe that we can manage whatever we find there. And I think it happens to women too sometimes, but I speak for men. You think you're a tribalistic person until you meet some people. When you meet some women, you say, where are you from? You say, I'm Katsina.
I will marry an Hausa woman.
There's an aura. I know everybody has aura. Some of...
Did you hear what I just said?
I said everybody has aura. You just see somebody, it's as if you've known the person. Your spirit agrees. That statement, your spirit agrees, is the auras, the spiritual smell coming from you is connecting with that person. That's why even though you don't know everything about the person, you feel like, I will marry this person. You just know. And later as you get to know the person, you will notice that all the things you thought, they are there. So the aura around some people is like someone that has not had a bath for 6 months. Do you know that when the season changes, it can affect your body odor? Do you know that the shirt you could wear for 2 days, when the weather changes from rainy season to Harmattan, you start feeling as if you have, there's a smell? Huh? No, you have used perfume to destroy the... Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I have to go to my wife and say, I don't like the way... She said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. But what I'm perceiving is that there is no... I can't sense freshness. You understand? Now, what that means is that if you are the one that only takes your bath once in 3 days, because you believe the word of God has made you clean. Now, because of the weather, you have to go to the bathroom like twice. Sometimes when it's so hot, I don't know if that's happened to you. You have your bath 10 p.m., the weather is still... You 12 p.m., you go back again. Because the season, many times, we place a demand on your need to stay in the world for cleansing. And Jesus said, you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. Which means sometimes you may be in a season just now, I need to keep studying. I need to keep meditating. You just know this season is different. It's not like that other one that you would just use one verse and be chewing it like Ireke. This one, you have to like read chapters, listen to the word of God, buy data, listen to messages. For some reason, you may not even be able to explain why. You just notice this is the season you are in. And you are flowing with it. And the aura around you begins to change. What is it about quick understanding that is related to the fear of God?
Joseph had 2 seconds to think. 2 seconds. With that woman. 2 seconds or less.
He needed to be able to see that this invitation, call Joseph for me, was not to bring water. It was not to bring food. His spirit needed to be active enough, because the spirit of understanding is one of the prophetic abilities. The ability to see something and understand the nature of that thing even before it manifests.
I was telling my wife, somebody came to this church. Pastor, there's one lady, I've been hiring her, and she's not giving me eye. I said, why? She will give you face. And I told him to go. That's my job, to encourage you to have hope. To have hope. That's my job. My job is not to say no, it's to encourage you to, you can jump that fence. You can hit a whole lion. You can swallow a lion. Whatever you believe, I believe with you. But when that brother said that thing, I looked at it. I said, why would this lady say no? I said, there's a problem here. The lady has perceived something. And I perceive that the lady herself may not even be sure. She may not know why, but she knew, no, be this one. Later, the brother got into trouble 2 weeks later. I said, this is it. This is it. This other lady that said no, she doesn't even know what God saved her from.
This matter of quick understanding is that there is a knowledge that has been put in front of you. Huh? There's a knowledge that has been put in front of you. You have 2 seconds to break that thing down, because destinies, lives can be hanging on that information. Lives. And for Jesus to be able to walk in the fullness of his calling, there was an aspect that he needed to become extra very solid, gain mastery. He needed to become a master of, and that was in the fear of the Lord, which means that as long as Jesus was going to carry out his ministry, he must not carry out his ministry as the Son of God, but the Son of Man. That was a condition. And believe me, if you have lived all your life in the heavenly realms and your word was law,
you don't understand.
The scripture said Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, which means anytime God opened his mouth, it was Jesus that came out. It was the word of God. In the realm of the spirit, he is not Jesus. He is the living word. That Jesus was the name he got when he came here. He is known as the living word, Oro. The living word, the one true word. That when God said,
Let there, it was the power of the Christ that came out. That's why Jesus said, nobody can separate me from my Father, because no man is separated from his words. You know what it means for that kind of being with such creative power? The Bible says nothing was created without him. Nothing. That's a lot of power. That God did not do anything without him. They've been together for long. So when he said to that gate, lift up your head, the gate spoke by, he said, lift up your head. Who are you? Who are you? Just because I changed my shape, I'm still there. It's the same glory. That king inside there, we have the same glory. But the scripture said when he came to the earth, he did not even allow it come into his mind to claim the same relevance. He did not claim to say, you push respect me. Oh. If you know where I'm coming from, power, Holy Ghost, you just see glory. Jesus did not even allow it enter into his head. That is why a lot of Muslims confuse him as a man and as a prophet. Because they do not understand that even this divine state that he manifested on earth was like taking a person operating at 1,000% and you put him on 0.01. That one he manifested here, that all of us are still aspiring for. That we are, out of humility, we say we are aspiring to be like Jesus. You see that one is 0.01 that we could not handle. That we are still studying. How can we become like Jesus? That will organize believers' conference and will title the conference to be like Jesus. We do discipleship program on 0.01. If Jesus was in his normal estate, Satan cannot come to him and say, turn these stones to bread. As he imagines it, he will evaporate. Because but look at the requirement that was placed in front of him. You will need to walk for 33 years in the fear. You have never known fear. You will need to know the fear of the Lord, because you will be a pattern son. You will be the son that, the replica. You will be the model that every other person who comes through this gate, we have to follow and become like this. Such that even when he was on the cross and was about to die, he still needed to pray in that pain. Do you know what it means to pray when you are in pain? I can't do it too. I will call people who are okay to come and pray for me. When I have malaria, I can't open my mouth. Go and ask those that know. Mouth becomes very heavy. Ordinary malaria. Somebody has a crown of thorns, is bleeding pints of blood. Without any form of medical aid to reduce the pain, God knows that heavy nail that was driven through both hands and then put two legs together with all the bones in those feet, and they pass it through. And the only thing he could do was to trust God for help. This is the man who created the world. He said, it shall be of quick understanding. Because if you lack that element of quickness, your potential to misbehave can become very quick. You won't know. You would have done it. Like the Bible, you would have gone far. The Bible says, Samson did not know that the Spirit of God had left. He didn't know. That quickness was not there. These are deep matters. Because this quickness is also something that you cannot get in your own strength. It's not something you can get by deciding that, okay, anytime there's a decision, I need to be thinking fast. No, that's not what we are talking about. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that must be given to you. If that spirit is not there, that spirit has one assignment: to deliver you to the fear of the Lord. That spirit will lead you in a split second to the fear of the Lord. That is will now be your regulator. That will be your transistor.
What's that thing inside that? That thing that thermostat. That thing becomes your thermostat. It regulates the flow of power. It regulates everything. They brought a woman Jesus and I said, who has seen? Jesus did not talk. The spirit was ministering to him. Because if Jesus raised his head in haste, he probably would have responded very differently. Eventually, that woman turned out to be one of his most trusted disciples. She shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Which means an average person will be of slow understanding. We don't process the fear of the Lord at the same level. What I'm telling you now, by the time he enters your soul, you may even find it difficult hugging a brother or a sister. Because that law will now give you some do's and don'ts that are peculiar to you. They will regulate you. Say you are no more on 240. 240 what, Avik? What do you call those things? Vote. Will downplay you to what there is in the US. I think they have a lower thing there. Maybe they put you on 200 or something.
Which means you cannot be stretching your muscles the way somebody that is on 240 is doing. I remember when I was on campus, I don't know how it is now, when we buy some of these CD players, those double-decker, in those days, some of them used to have like six loaders and all of that. We'll buy it from Lagos, so they'll bring it to our school. We're not feeling like people, we'll not increase the volume. You are broke, but you go to the next town, go and buy CDs, because it's six loader. You now arrange all the... Then when your friend comes, that's where you say it's six loader. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you it's six loader. You appreciate the work of God. That's the only thing. So your friend will say, hey, show me. You just say, pam, move to next CD. Pam. Say, so if you arrange Domwe, Ronkenoli, you say, yes. Say, when I sleep, just keep changing. I'm basking in the presence of God. Say, wow, brother. It will go. The next thing is, when can I call Bro Job? Bro Job is the person in our fellowship that arranges those things. So, Bro Job, I want that kind of... Do you know the day they brought my own? That was the day Nepa took light. For almost 2 weeks, I almost died. That was the only valuable equipment I had in that room. You know what happened? I started dreaming. Do you know that feeling? Like, when I sleep, I'll just dream that they brought light. And I'll just open my eye. Hey! It's much torment. I've never had that problem. That day, you see the day, my brother, when they now brought the thing, I couldn't play it. When they finally brought it, I almost passed out. Then somebody came and said, no, you need to buy step down. There was something they called step down in those days. I said, which one is step down? They say, the power is too much. We need the fear of the Lord to step it down. That you will not last. This thing will not last. It's powerful. But if we don't step it down, you won't see the work. I said, I'm going to step down. I said, 6,000. I said, 6,000. Then I paid bursary. Without thinking twice. Me that my mom was trying hard to pay my school fees. I used the bursary money to buy step down. That small black thing like this. My God, I saw that thing a few days ago. I said, see the thing that almost cost me my joy. Imagine that God has invested so much in you, but there is no regulator. God wants to send you to the US, but you cannot survive one day alone without Christians around you. And you know it. You know it. And you wonder, God, why? Release me for the nations. That is when you go for Christian meetings up and down. And people are falling under anointing. You say, God, use me. But when you are alone with yourself, you know that you will not survive 1 week. There's no regulator. You are not like Joseph. And many times those regulators are putting you through suffering, through pain, through seeking the Lord, through denial. When you have prayed for many things and the Lord keeps saying no, you now develop a tough skin against those things. Eventually, when God now gives you the pick meek, you have lost taste for it. Say, God, give me meek. God, give me meek. Give me meek. God. I don't want to suffer again. I want to taste meek. Gari and meek. Gari and meek. The Lord will now deny you that thing. When eventually he sees that you don't want it again, he will now give it to you. Have you been in a situation where the things you wanted so much, now they can be in your kitchen, you don't even remember for weeks. There is an investment. When God has prepared you in the place of prayer, in the place of fasting, he has put so many things in you, like the spirit of wisdom, understanding. He has placed his anointing over you. The only way God will validate you is when you have the fear of the Lord. If not, he will not touch you. Have you ever heard the statement from pastors when they say the anointing does not validate you? The anointing doesn't mean you are right. You've not heard it before. Let me now tell you another one. Truly, the anointing does not make a man approved before God. What makes a man approved before God is when he can stand in the glory of God. And it's not destroyed. The glory will validate the carrier. The anointing validates the giver. The moment God finds you worthy to become a custodian of his own glory, and you are wise enough not to touch the glory. Not to touch the glory. Then God will say, okay, let us show the world that we are the one behind him. The Bible says God approved of Jesus Christ through diverse signs and wonders, and they told us the some things that God used to. Those signs and wonders are not headaches. They are not curing of blind eyes. I'm talking about things that when people hear, they become afraid. Like a 4 days old dead man that has been buried. He has been buried. They've eaten the rice. He's gone. They've killed cow. People have waved goodbye to their friend. And Jesus comes and says, remove the stone. Do you know the kind of audacity? I know you didn't notice that because you know it's Jesus. But I want you to think about it again. Process it again. That you went. I've been to the cemetery to bury people. I've been to the cemetery and it's not a very interesting place to be. Especially if the person was buried at home, it's even good. When they go far into, some of these cemeteries are in the forest. When you go there, you just see dead bodies around you. Where you are even standing on is somebody's head. Sometimes I feel sick. Every time I have gone there, from the road, coming back, I'll call my wife. None of the children should touch me when I enter. They should not touch me. I'm going straight to the bathroom. Anything I wear, shoe, just leave it outside. Whatever. I just manage myself straight. And that was not 5 minutes. You'll be dead till God tells you you are clean. It's not a joking matter. Then somebody comes and says, remove the stone. And they still warn them, say, Master, this guy would be smelly. He would be decaying by now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. If I speak to this one, the body will come back. The leg that is decaying will come back. If I speak and do not, God, give me the grace to see your glory. You see, there is a way he will open your eyes to see him. You will not doubt again. Yeah. That's why I told us to pray last Sunday. God, I want to see you the way you are. Moses said, I'm serving you, I'm following you, but I don't know you. I have the anointing, but I don't know you. I stretched my hands over the sea. It parted, but I have not seen your glory. If a man passed the sea, will you say that man is not called? Huh? Will you say that man doesn't have the anointing? Moses came back and said, I want to see you. Truly, it was me you used to part the Red Sea. But I want to see you the way you are. God said, nobody will see me and live. You know, I look at places where God spoke in the Bible. His words were very deep. He doesn't talk much, but if you process that thing he said, it's okay for your lifetime. God said to Moses, he said, nobody sees my face and will live. That means the moment you see me, that means you're already dead. People, they are probably taking your body to the cemetery. The moment you see me like this, you are a dead man. See, because you have found mercy, I will cover you with my hands. You will see my back. But can I submit to you that what Moses saw was not just his back. He saw his story. He saw something before time. The moment, and go and read that scripture. I think it's somewhere in 33rd chapter of, is it Exodus? When God was passing, Pastor David, the way God started, you know, the scripture says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. That means God expects you to be talking as you are coming. All this, I don't talk, I'm a gentle person. You will not go far. Because even when God wants, we don't have time. Pastor, talk. When God touched Moses and started coming close to him, God started speaking to himself. I am the Lord, the one who is rich in mercy. When I broke down, I said, God, who are you? He was talking. The only way to preserve the man in front of him was to declare a season of praise. Because only praise conditioned the atmosphere for a mortal man to step into God's presence and remain the way he is. Only praise. There's some of you are vibing. You think you are praise. You don't know praise. Praise only has one person as the focus, and that's God. God started speaking to himself. He said, I am the Lord. I am rich in mercy. I forgive sins up to the third and fourth. And he started speaking to himself as he was covering Moses. And then he passed behind him. And when Moses looked, what we saw was, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the spirit of God was beginning to hover over the face of it. He saw the back of God and saw creation. And he started writing. Then he came back. By the time he came down, he had this at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So how long did that trip that God took, how long did he take? That means that guy was captured in a revelation. He was captured in a trance. But he had his pen and paper and he was able to write.
He was writing so fast. He came back with tablets. Did you find God?
Yes. I also have what he said. I have his words. He said, "O you children of Israel, thou shalt have no other God besides me."
If you truly hear God, that thing you claim God said, we have a God element. Eh? It will have a God element. If God tells you she is your wife, there will be destiny involved. There will be a ministry involved. There will be a divine, you will have that sense of, not the one that you are lying because you cannot propose. You are lying. Say you dreamt. You liar. You lied. You say you dreamt. Because you cannot face a woman. I'm not talking about you. There is a way you communicate a thought here, the Lord. Even the person I talk to will say,
if you want to know the secret of Jesus, it is the fear of the Lord.
He never taught it. He never considered himself equal. Even though he was equal. Yet he submitted himself. He knew. He had quick understanding. He knew. Ha! He knew. There was something in his spirit that helped him process anything in front of him. He knew the house of a Pharisee he could go to. And he knew the one he would be raining curses on. He knew. He went into it and said, "What are you Chorazin? What do you tie? What do you sit on?" He said, "The miracles that were done in you, maybe Sodom and Gomorrah would have been saved." Jesus knew. Jesus knew. I hope you know that Jesus also said, I know that many years ago we used to carry a message, some of us who were in that revival then, that before Jesus comes, there will be a massive revival. A lot of people will give their life to Christ. Have you heard such things before? There are a lot of people who will be saved, right? Before Jesus comes. Woo! Until I heard Jesus say, "The coming of the Son of Man shall be like the day of Noah. Noah. So where men were giving themselves in marriage, they were parting. Do you think we are parting right now? Yes. We are flexing. Have you ever thought that a generation will come when somebody that is stark naked will play a Nathan Ebasi song, put her phone like this in her room, and be dancing half naked to a Christian song? The song that of which the scripture says we cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land. You have gone ahead and done more than that. It is the distinguishing factor. Those who fear the Lord and those who do not. It's not that somebody said I'm a Christian. It is those who fear the Lord. That is the ruler with which we will separate the book. Don't forget that in Matthew chapter 13, the scripture said it is the lack of understanding that will be used to separate those who hear the word of God. The first rule that will be used is that those who lack understanding best will come and take away what they have heard. And peradventure, you have been coming to this church for months, but you may not even remember that there is a strong emphasis currently on the glory of the Lord and on the presence of the Lord. Maybe you don't know. You think it's another message. No. There's a journey we are taking. And you have to take that journey, both spiritually and mentally. We are tired of seeing men. We want to see God. If God could reveal himself to Moses in a time when nobody knew who God was, if God could reveal himself in the life of Joseph, who was in a strange land, and yet he remained faithful. If God was able to reveal him, and Moses saw the glory of God. If God was able to reveal himself to an Elijah, and God hid him for many years, only to bring him out after God was satisfied. I hope you know God is not in a hurry to use you. Where did we raise all these people from? Without fear. Without fear. You quote what Jesus said in the Bible, and you twist it. Without fear. Without fear. You open your mouth and say, the Bible is not complete. And you are still alive. You are not afraid. I know what the problem is. There are seven spirits of God. But one rule has been applied to you and you have been found wanting. There is no understanding. You are low. You are bereft of understanding. There is a generation that is rising now that are bereft because they have not had any encounter with who God is. When Zacchaeus saw him, what did he say? He said, "Today, Master, today, whoever I have cheated," did Jesus ask him to do it? He had an encounter. He said, "Whoever I have taken from, I will return sevenfold." When he said that, what did Jesus say? "Say today, salvation has entered into this house." How can you claim to know you to have met God and nothing shifted?
You continued. Your phone book, audio book is still the same. Your friends on Facebook, on Instagram are still the same. You are following all the sinful apostles of Satan, sending us satanic songs. And decide you still go and like them. You like people's posts who speak against the cause of Christ. That is a yardstick. Let me tell you, they didn't have Facebook in the days of the Bible. We have Facebook now. We have Instagram, so we use it as a yardstick. You are not a Christian because your name is Christy. You are not a Christian because your name is Christian. The scripture says in the book of Malachi, say, then shall we return and we shall descend between those who serve him and those who serve him not. We are talking about the fear of the Lord. And this is what God wants for every one of us. Because the days that are ahead of us, knowing that God will forgive you will not be enough to save you from sin. Knowing that God is a God of judgment, that there's something called effort, will not be strong enough. If encounters like the fear of the Lord is rooted in encounters. The fear of the Lord is rooted in an encounter. You must have an encounter with him, either through the word of God or through a message like this. And you just come to that place and say, God, I will not go forward until I've met you. I want to know the fear. I want to know how to fear you. Teach me to fear you. Teach me not to be overconfident. I want to be like Jesus, who though he's anointed, did not think it robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself until he was killed and hung on the cross. He died the death of a criminal. That's not the way God should die. That's not the way God should. And God sat there and he watched. He watched his son die. Jesus went into the grave. He didn't go with any of his powers. He went with his love. He didn't go with any of his powers. He went with his love. Because tongues may fail and prophecies may fail, but love will never fail. Hallelujah. He said, love will never fail. Love will never fail. He went into the grave because he loved James. He loved David. He loved Zacharias. He loved Moses. He loved Abraham. He loved Abel. He loved David. He loved Solomon. He loved Samson. He loved all of those guys who were trapped in hell. He loved them. Many of them prophesied about him and they died, never knowing whether it was true or not. Some of them died as false prophets. And Jesus showed up and said, I am the one you spoke about. I am the beginning and the end. Strap up. The plane is about to take off. The scripture said when Jesus rose from the dead, people saw the spirits of prophets, men who have died. They saw David walking the streets of Jerusalem, looking at the city he built many years ago. People saw Zechariah, the high priest. They saw him walking on the street. People recognized them. It was documented because there was recognition. Do you know in the realm of spirit you will know things? Do you know you will know yourself? Do you know in the realm of spirit if you see Paul the apostle, you will know he's the one? They saw them. Why? Because Jesus rose. They moved around the country. And when Mary Magdalene saw him, Jesus was not standing alone there because he was the high priest. He rose as the high priest. He died as the lamb that was offered for the redemption of the world. But he rose as the high priest that will take the offering before the Lord. He is both the high priest and he is also the offering. He is the one who wrote the will and he also rose to execute the will. He is the one who said, you will not die, I have taken your place. And he rose up to defend that word. Do you know what we are talking about here? That means the last chapter of your life will never be written by Satan. Because the one who is the lamb is also the high priest. And it is the high priest that presents the lamp, which is the blood, to the Father. When he said, do not touch me, it's because he had something on him. And the high priest in the Old Testament could not be touched when going before God. That was the first time Jesus went back to heaven. It was not the day he went before 500. That day that he spoke to Mary, he went to heaven and came back and presented the sacrifice. This is the reason why you sent me. The first Adam came to this earth. He didn't fulfill his mission. I have gone and I have returned. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that through that blood, the heavens were purified. The heavens now knew a new level of sanctification and holiness. And that was that period was when he had that encounter in the book of Psalm, when they say, lift up your head, O ye gates, because he was now coming in a level of glory that was never seen before on earth. And when he returned, he could now say to Thomas, touch me. You can't disqualify me again. You can't make me dirty again. The offering has been accepted. Hallelujah. The offering has been accepted. The Father has received it. Touch me for a spirit. A ghost does not have flesh and bone. If you come, you say, touch me. Now you can touch me. But the moment he rose, he said, don't touch me, because he was going somewhere. we must pray ourselves into the fear of the Lord. The scripture says and that it will make him of quick understanding in the fear. So we need that level of speed so that we can be free from sin. So that we can gain time and momentum. So that we are never behind. So that we can serve God in holiness and in fear. So that we can have a full reward when we are done. So that when we see him, or whenever we die, or whenever he chooses to call us home, when we stand before him, if we have only one word to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not my son. Servant. It is servants that get reward. It is servants that get reward. Some of you may never be able to preach in all the nations of the world, but you are here. Are you serving God? Are you serving God? In this small location, are you doing anything specifically that makes the word of God go to other people and be and bless them? Everything is connected. Everything is connected. Don't say, oh, God has asked me to win souls in Nigeria to him. Win 100 souls in Mende first. This is the word of the Lord. Listen, anything that we find in Jesus that is documented is important. It's important. And I hope that you will take this message, whether you are young or old. This is the key to operating not just in the anointing, but in the glory of God. Jesus operated in both. A lot of us pastors operate in the anointing. And the reason why we cannot operate in the glory is because our presence is too strong. We are too strong. People can see us. We are concerned about being celebrities. You understand? When you come into the church, the camera needs to follow your car in and they need to walk you into the auditorium. You walk in like a celebrity about to sing or dance or preach. You have not met him. I'm sorry, you have not met him. Now, if you find yourself in a place to preach and they do that, you are not the one you can't control that. But don't put yourself in the limelight. God does not share glory. Our generation has fallen, but people don't know. They think it's the days of AI and this. I told AI to preach a message. The AI gave me scriptures I didn't know were in the Bible. AI will preach. Robots will preach very soon. But AI will not have the anointing. And they will not walk in the glory. And in case you think it's about anointing and aura, there was a show somewhere where that Sister B in America, she was singing. People were falling under. They were falling. Like in the days of Michael Jackson, where you just fall, they take them out. Like, power of God is moving. Power of God is moving. Meanwhile, the Beyonce you are following, pledges her own allegiance to the Oshun spirit. Beyonce, that you are following, believes it's an embodiment of the Oshun spirit. And one day, somebody spoke up. I was watching the video on YouTube. Say she offended, maybe at the backstage, before she sang. And the person said, Beyonce started cursing her. Say, I'm the carrier of the Oshun spirit. She was cursing her in the name of Oshun. And say you will be destroyed. But that's not the Beyonce you know. But that is also a Beyonce who knows she's a carrier. So what are you carrying? Will Jesus continue to be your servant? Or will he become your Lord? Will Jesus become that genie that you will turn and steer like a bottle? And say, God, go now and bring my money. Go now, you angels, go and bring my money. Or will Jesus become your Lord? The Bible says he will make him of quick understanding. So that anytime you hear false doctrine. And you hear things that are not compatible with Christ. Tell your husband, something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. How will you know? How will you know? If they put the lie and the error in between truth. Eh? They put poison in between two slices of bread. How will you know? Let's ask the Lord very briefly to give us the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Let's pray for yourself right now. Pray for yourself. Whether you are young or old, ask the Lord that, Lord, if you could just, I want this spirit. I want this spirit so that I can live the way Jesus lived. I want you to ask like you have never prayed this prayer before. Ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, I need the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I need the spirit of the fear, so that I will not be destroyed, so that I will not be rejected, so that I will not be removed from my place. My candlestick will not be removed from his place. Can you pray for yourself? And pray, even as a church, we pray that the Lord will cause us as a church to operate in the fear of the Lord, that all our decisions will be ruled and guided by the fear of the Lord, that we will not come to that place where we'll be able to move or breathe or make decisions without the approval of the Lord. In Jesus mighty name, we pray. Lord, we pray tonight and we ask for your help. We acknowledge that only you can bring us to this place. And yet, Lord, we are bold enough to ask because we know you will grant it to us. That, Lord, you will fill us with your spirit, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That from today, you will give us the grace to be able to order our steps properly before you. that we will no longer touch sin because of the fear of the Lord. We will be able to serve you in spirit and truth because of the fear of the Lord. That we will redeem the times that we have lost because we are now yielded to you. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' mighty name.